What can I say? I'm Nina motherfucking Blanco. Episode 3 of season 2 of the Nina Blanco podcast. Thank you so much for being here, whether you're listening on Spotify or you're watching on YouTube or you're listening somewhere else. Thanks for listening regardless. I'm Nina Blanco. Episode 3. I figured why not? Let's add some like December Christmassiness into it because it's finally December. And because it's December, there are all these like new commercials and stuff coming out, of course, for the holiday season. A lot of people have already done their holiday shopping. They did it on Black Friday. I did some holiday shopping on Black Friday. I normally am not that prepared to do it on Black Friday, but for whatever reason I did. Oh, I know why. Because I'm broke. I'm like really, really broke. So I'm like, please give me all the savings. But yeah, Black Friday, I did a lot of like really cheaper like photo gifts. Like a lot of people are getting a mug with some pictures on it from the wedding. Like that's majority of what my gifts are. But you know, I had to take advantage of that because I paid enough damn money for this wedding and photos and stuff like that. But that's where I'm at right now. I'm kind of in the Christmassy vibe. That's why I have a whole ass Santa hat on right now. And earlier today, Lindsay Lohan kind of broke the internet. Today is December 1st that I'm recording this, by the way. And then you'll hear this on Wednesday. So, you know, whatever, days, dates, it doesn't matter. But it's December, okay? And today, Lindsay Lohan posted this ad that she had with Pepsi, and she was drinking Pilk. I don't know what the hell Pilk is, but she made this commercial, and it was driving everyone insane, myself included, because when I saw it, I was like, what the frick is this? That's nasty. I'm sorry. That's nasty. I don't know who came up with that. I don't care if it actually tastes good. That's nasty. They poured Pepsi into a glass and then they poured milk into that same glass and she drank it together, combined. Nasty. So I figured why not? Let's try it. Got a glass, I got Pepsi, and I got milk. We're doing it. I mean, this is clearly an ad, right? Like, I don't know if this is an actual thing or if they're just trying to get more people to buy Pepsi to try this nasty concoction. I mean, it worked for me. Look at this. But we're gonna try it anyway. I'm not gonna pour this whole Pepsi because that seems like a waste of Pepsi. We're only gonna pour a real little bit. Screw that. I'll drink the rest of this later. Someone on my Instagram, because I posted the Lindsay Lohan thing on my Instagram, and someone on Instagram was like, oh yeah, my grandma used to put half and half in her Pepsi or her Coke or whatever. And I'm like, this is a thing? This is apparently a whole real thing. Okay, look how nasty this looks when I pour some milk into it. So I'm just going to do like half. Ew, it looks so gross. So here's my brown bubble juice, and I'm gonna drink it. I don't know. I mean, it's fine. I knew it was gonna taste like a caramel or whatever. You know how people is? This someone in the South fucking did this shit. Because people in the South, they put peanuts in their Coca-Cola. You heard about that? So people putting milk or half and half or dairy in their cola for some reason, someone thought that was a great idea. And they're like, huh, not half bad. Because it's filled with sugar from all the frickin' Pepsi or the Coke or whatever. Ugh. Pilk. It's something. Okay, we're just going to put that over there and not talk about it anymore. I'm sorry I tried it. I mean, to be honest, it's all right. It just kind of tastes like watered down Pepsi. But still, no thank you. No thank you, but thanks for making me try it, Lindsay Lohan and Pepsi. Your ad worked. But since we are getting into the holiday season, I did want to play a little something-something for you guys. Something that I made several years ago now. Oh, I feel like my stomach kind of hurts now. Oof. Hold on. I think I need to like burp or something real quick. Oof. Oof. I'm gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay. Okay. Since we're getting into the holiday season and we're in December now, I thought I would bring something back that I did a couple years ago. I did it in December of 2019 before the world shut down and my life turned way upside down. But I made a little song for Christmas time because I was doing like parody songs and stuff like that. So you may have heard this before. You may not have heard this before, but I made it, bitch. It is a song called Bitch Better Have My Cookies. Here you go.
Bitch better have my cookies. Santa coming down your chimney. Bitch better have my cookies. Slinging presents under your tree. I want me some cookies. Doesn't matter which kind you brought. Bitch, give me your cookies. Chocolate chip, mint, peanut butter. Like drop, drop, drop. Dropping presents under your tree. Got that new toy you want. Working all year, making toys, keeping track of all your badass kittens. Elf on the shelf in the backseat of my new red sleigh. You know that I'm in charge. Presents I drop, drop, drop. Like plop, plop, plop. Going down your chimney. Yikes. Go ahead and say my name. Bitch better have my cookies. I want me some cookies. Bitch better have my cookies. Give me all your cookies.
And some milk too, because that'd be cool. Thanks. But not pilk, because... Milk goes way better with cookies, just saying. But nice try, Pepsi. Yeah, bitch, but I have my cookies. I put that song out when I was on the radio, and we played it for the city of Denver in December 2019, and people loved it. And that song gets stuck in your head, just the way I say, cookies. Bitch, but I have my cookies. It's a fun one, so you're welcome. I wanted to bring that back for the holiday season. I never made a music video. I made music videos to some of my songs, but I never made a music video for that one. So maybe if I decide to do it this year, if not, maybe next year. If not, then maybe never, and you have to deal with it. But, you know, there's the song for you. Bitch, but I have my cookies. An original from myself, Lenina Blanco. But let's get to the main point of this podcast episode, because I'm catching you up on my life in the last several months, because I stopped the podcast in April, last April, and now we're all the way in December. So a lot of has happened in between that time. Of course, I talked about it a little bit in the first episode. I mean, that was only a small chunk of what had happened within the last couple of months. Of course, I got married. And then after I got married, the boy and I, yes, by the way, we're still calling him the boy. I know he was my fiance. I know he's now my husband, but it's just weird calling him my husband. I'm not used to it yet. And I cringe a little bit every time I call him my husband. I know that's probably not normal, not natural, but it's just weird for me to call him my husband. I'm not used to it yet. So I've decided I'm just going to keep calling him the boy. And actually, Dubs, we know Dubs. Dubs agrees, because he and I, we were recording Yiddy, my other podcast with Dubs, and I called the boy my husband in conversation, and we both were like, ugh, don't do that. So he agrees. I agree. It's just weird. I don't know. If it's online stuff and it's podcast stuff, he's going to be known as the boy for forever, and you have to deal with it. Anyway, the boy, he and I decided that, you know, we wanted to get another dog. My dog, Chester, that I had for 10 years, Chester was mostly an only child. But then, you know, the last couple years of his life, we got Bonzo. And with Bonzo, we were like, oh my gosh, I had never had two dogs before. I had pretty much just had Chester, and he was just my one dog the whole time. And I never had two dogs before, even growing up. And so having two dogs, it just really opens your eyes. I mean, dogs are pack animals. They need a friend. They're so social, and they have so much personality that they need another being, another dog to understand them and be around, and, you know, just to have someone there. So, you know, after Chester passed, obviously I wasn't ready to get another dog right away. But eventually we're like, yeah, you know, eventually someday we'll get another dog. I don't know when that'll be. And with the wedding, we're like, okay, definitely after the wedding. And then as the wedding was getting closer and closer, we were thinking about dogs during that time. And I was like, maybe we should get a dog. And the boy kind of agreed. He wanted to get a dog as well. And so, and Bonzo, he was so lonely. He was just, you know, this solo pup in a house. We were just all over the place, not giving him the attention he wanted and deserved. But it was because we were wedding planning and all this other stuff was going on. And he don't know. He's just a sweet little puppy boy. He don't know. So we felt bad and we decided, yeah, well, we're going to get another dog after we get married. And so after we got married, I was like, should we get a dog right away? Like the day after we get married, should we get a dog? But then we planned a Colorado mini moon where we were going to be gone for a week. And I was like, well, that's a terrible time to get a dog. But what if when we get back, we get a dog? And we were going to do that. But we had a wedding a month after our wedding that we were going to go to. And we're like, well, if we get a new dog, it's not fair to the dog to then like leave it for a whole weekend so early on. And so we're like, we'll wait. And then a week or two went by. This wedding hadn't passed yet, but we were getting close to it. But I was like, you know what? Screw this. I'm not waiting. I'm getting a dog. And so we decided, I'm sorry to my cousin, by the way, we decided not to go to this wedding and instead we got a dog. I apologize. I love you guys. I really do. But I wanted a dog. So we got a dog instead of going to this wedding. And if you follow me on Instagram, you've seen that I've had this dog now for a couple months now, and his name is Bowie. So he's like such a huge part of our lives now, and I haven't talked about him yet, and we're on episode 3 of the podcast. So this episode is mostly dedicated to Bobo, my Bowie McBobison. I call him Bowie. I call him Bobison. I call him Mr. Bobos. You know how it goes with pet parents and nicknames. That's how it is. But I wanted to tell you all about Bowie because, Bowie has kept us on our toes. And that is just putting it nicely. This dog. I mean, he hasn't been a total terror, but he's kind of been a fucking asshole. I'm not gonna lie. By the way, he is a shelter dog, and thanks to Dumb Friends League for our new pup that we really actually do love so much, despite me calling him an asshole. Thanks, Dumb Friends League. They made the process super easy. We decided I wanted a shelter dog. That's all I knew. I just wanted to save a dog from the shelter and find a pup that needed some love. And that's what we wanted to do. So that's what we did. We just went to Dumb Friends League one Saturday and it was so, so busy. The wait was so, so long, but understandable. You know, they're working hard over there. But we finally were able to like look around and everything and look at the dogs. And we wrote down like a list of dog names and their ID numbers of that we might want to see and meet. But because it was so busy, we could only meet like maybe 2 dogs, they said. So I was like, crap. Well, let's try this one. And so we met Bowie first. So his shelter name was Rocky. They called him Rocky. I don't know if that was his original name or if that's just the name that the shelter gave him, Rocky, the Rocky Mountains, Colorado. I don't fucking know. But we weren't vibing with Rocky once we took him home and we renamed him Bowie. But before Bowie was Bowie, he was Rocky. So we got Rocky and we were, you know, just gonna like try it out. And so they wanted us to meet him, the people, the humans, to meet the dog first before he could meet Bonzo. And we had brought Bonzo with us, by the way. Bonzo was just like chilling with us in some random empty office at Dumb Friends League until we were finally able to like go through the whole process. And so Bowie walks in and it's just the boy and I. And I was like, by the way, to the boy, if he is weirded out by you or he is afraid of you, like, don't take offense to that, because a lot of shelter dogs and a lot of dogs just in general, for whatever reason, they are like weirded out by adult males, by guys. It's just how it is. And he was like, oh, yeah, no problem. So they come by. It's finally our turn and they bring Rocky into the room. And they open the door and he comes in and he goes straight to the boy and he's wagging his tail and he's licking his face and he's just rubbing up all on him and he goes straight to the boy. And I was like, ah, excuse me. I'm right here. So I immediately got jealous. But the fact that Bowie went straight to the boy, I was like, wow. That was like totally different from what I was expecting. And yeah, so he got along with us very well. He wasn't afraid of men or anything like that. And he was great towards me. He's just great towards people in general. And we're like, oh my gosh, this dog is really good. And we just like spent some time with him alone in just like this little room. And he was great. He was a good dog. Like we had him sit. we had like treats and stuff, and we were trying to see what he might have known, and he knew sit and stay and like all this stuff, and we're like, whoa, like this is like a good, basically trained dog. This is crazy. And so we were kind of digging a little bit, and we were wondering like, what's his story? What's his deal? He's 3 years old, so he's a little bit more of an adult dog. He's 3 years old. He's a cattle dog, and he's a big dog. He's pretty large. He's a large dog for sure, although a little skinny and scrawny, but he's a big dog. And we noticed that at the shelter, he had like his nameplate and his ID or whatever. It wasn't up yet. Like when we first got there, again, it took a couple hours. So when we first got there, we went by and we saw him and we're like, huh, that dog doesn't have a name. That dog doesn't have an ID number. I wonder if he's just not adoptable yet or something along those lines. But we did see him online. They had him listed online. And I was like, I think that's the same dog. I don't know though, because sometimes you can't really tell in pictures. And then later, a couple hours later, right before we met him, they put up a nameplate and they gave him an ID number. So we're like, that's weird. But we were there, I think like when they were, I don't know, like allowing people to like see him and view him. I'm not sure. But after doing some digging, we did find out that he was only there for like a week and a half. And during that week and a half, he got neutered because he wasn't neutered before. And he was recovering from his neuter surgery. And I think that was like, had to have been day one of him being adoptable, because otherwise I told the boy, I'm like, there's no way if anyone else would have met with him, they would have taken him home. Like, he's a really good dog. Cool, calm, collected, no sit, stay. When we got home, we found out he was already crate trained. He is potty trained. He has clearly been in a house before. We're like, whoa, 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 whoa. This dog is awesome. Cool. Little did we know the shenanigans we'd get into, but I'm going to get into that here in a little bit. But when Bowie met Bonzo, this is still the same day before we had taken him home. We brought Bonzo with us to the shelter. And so they took us to this little outside area, and Bowie went outside first. And then we went outside with Bonzo afterwards so that they could meet, sniff each other, see how they react. That way the people at the shelter, they wanted to make sure that, you know, the dog, their shelter dog, was going home to another dog that where they get along and stuff like that. So there wasn't any problems. And so they meet, and Bowie couldn't care less about Bonzo. Bonzo walked in and Bonzo immediately wanted to go and sniff him and blah, blah, blah. And he did. And he went up to sniff him. And all Bowie did was kind of like side eye him and like snarl, like, get the fuck away from me. But outside of that, like, Bowie wanted nothing to do with Bonzo. He was just sniffing around the yard and, I don't know, doing dog stuff, but not caring that there was another dog there. So it was really weird. And the shelter people were like, I don't know, he seems like that snarling and growling is a little bit aggressive and we're a little unsure. But the boy and I are like, this is like best case scenario. Like, they could be fighting right now. Like, this is all right. This is good. And so we took it as a great sign. They were comfortable with letting us take him home. And so that's what we did. And we took him home that day. Now, a little bit more about his background, because I asked, of course, like, I was just curious, like, do we know his backstory? Do we know where he came from? Was he found? Was he on the streets? Where did he come from? Like, these shelter dogs, like, I just want to know. And so when we asked, of course, they can't give us all their details because there's like privacy and stuff like that. But they gave us some details. And Bowie and his owner, they were homeless or dealing with some sort of homelessness or just displaced in one way or another. And they didn't have a home. Maybe they were like couch surfing. I'm not really sure. But they made it seem like the owner had to give Bowie up because he was getting assistance or he was moving into an apartment, something along those lines. The apartment didn't allow dogs, and so he had to surrender his dog to the shelter. And that like broke my heart a little bit. If you remember in season one, I talked a little bit about homelessness, and there was that homeless teen just kind of like asking me for money for milk and cereal. Like, that shit tears me up. Like, people being displaced and not having homes, that stuff, I don't know. It just like really does. I have a soft spot in my heart for these people who are struggling on the streets. And so the fact that his owner was struggling on the streets, I think anyway, from like the little bits and pieces that I could take and put together, like that breaks my heart a little bit, because a lot of these people, like you see people on the streets with dogs, and some people like roll their eyes at it or like, why would you get a dog and blah, 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 blah. Like you need companionship. That's why, because a dog doesn't care if you're living in a tent or he's living under a three-story house. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I don't have a problem with people who don't have homes who have dogs. You know what I mean? But in this situation, like it was just sad that his dog had to be taken away, or not taken away, that he had to surrender his dog because he was trying to get the help that he needed to get. And he couldn't bring his dog with him. Like that hurts me a little bit. It does. It really does. And so I was like sad about that. But you could tell that Bowie was loved. You could tell he was loved. You could tell he missed his owner. You could tell that he just wanted to be by people. And it was really sweet in that way. And it's like, I don't know, just knowing that background, that little story, it just like, I don't know. My heart just kind of grew for Bowie a little bit more. Come here, Bowie.
Where's Bobo's? Let's get on camera. Up, up.
Oh, there's a big Bobo. Look at this Bobby. He's a big Bobison. Oh, he's a big Bobby. He just wants to be loved. He's a good boy.
Hi, Bowie. But yeah, this is Bowie.
Okay, get away. But he's just a big old sweetheart. He just wants to be loved. But he's also an asshole. So let's get to some asshole stories here. So when we first got Bowie, something that's very typical in shelters, and I don't blame the shelter by any means, it's just really hard to like contain and not have happen, but shelter dogs typically get kennel cough, and Bowie definitely had kennel cough when he left the shelter and he came home with us. Luckily, Bonzo didn't get it. Our neighbor dogs did not get it, but we knew that we had to keep Bowie away from like dog parks and taking him for walks and stuff like that. So we did not do that for the first like month of having him. And after he got all better, we took him to the vet. He got medicine. He was all good. We had a trip planned to go up into Dillon, to the mountains, to see the boy's cousin. And we wanted to go hang out with them. It was around Halloween time. Oh, I know what it was. Hocus Pocus 2 was coming out on Disney Plus. So we had a movie night with his cousin and her kids. And we set up like a little tent thing in the living room. And we had a movie night to watch Hocus Pocus 2 when it came out. And we wanted to go up there, and we brought our dogs with us. Now, we were a little nervous before going up there because we're like, man, she has two dogs of her own, and her dogs have their own personalities. Their oldest dog, he's definitely an alpha. You know, dogs have that whole thing. Okay, my dogs are like fighting in the room.
Stop! Knock it off.
They're fine. They're just playing. Her oldest dog is definitely a alpha dog. And we were worried about that because we think Bowie is definitely an alpha dog. We can just tell in his behavior. And we're like, I don't know how they're going to get along. And I have a feeling that there's going to be some fights because Bowie is being weird as well around other dogs. Like we could tell with our neighbor dog, he would just like start barking and be like real vicious and stuff. And we're like, ooh, him and other dogs, we're gonna have to ease into this. I don't know. And then she has another dog who she has had like three different vets confirm that he does have doggy autism. And so he's very whiny and kind of needy and just needs constant attention. And just, he really, sometimes he just can't handle how he's feeling a little bit. And so he's just very loud sometimes, and also like kind of in your face, and but he can't help himself. He doesn't know. And so we're like, I don't know how it's going to be with these other dogs bringing Bowie into the mix, because Bonzo knows them already. He's cool with them. They try to hump him and that's it. You know what I mean? Like, it's fine. But it's Bowie. We're like, there's going to be a dog fight. So we need to figure out how to do this. So we talked to her ahead of time. We're like, what's the best way to do this? And we decided, okay, we're going to go to the park across the street. That way it's outside, it's neutral, they'll be on the leash, and we can slowly try to get them to meet each other, and we'll see how it goes. So that's what we did. We went across the street, and we went to this park, and we had all our dogs on leashes, and she's like, well, my one dog doesn't do well on a leash. And this is the dog with the doggy autism. And he doesn't do well on a leash. He likes to be off leash. And I was like, Well, maybe we should just keep him on a leash for now because of Bowie. And, like, it's going to be bad if he's not on a leash. So I don't know. And she was like, okay, okay. So we go out there on a leash. And, of course, they're, like, growling at each other when they first see each other. But we're keeping them away. They're on leashes. And we walk over to the park. And they're still kind of growling at each other. And we're like, it's all right, you guys. Like, we're getting used to things. And then the boy's cousin's dog starts freaking out because he's not normally on a leash. And she's like, I think I'm going to let him off the leash. Like, I really think it'll be okay. He's such a good, like, her dog is such a good dog, and I'm gonna let him off the leash. And I was like, maybe okay. I was like, let me go tell the boy, because he was, like, further away with Bowie. And so as I'm like, okay, let me go talk to the boy, she immediately lets him off the leash. And then that dog runs up to Bowie to go sniff his butt, and Bowie, like, attacks. It was bad. It was a bad snarling dog fight. Bowie latched onto our cousin's dog's neck and, like, wouldn't let go of his, like, extra neck skin. And we're like, oh my God, this is not okay. Like, wrestling on the ground to get them away from each other. It was bad. And I'm like, oh no, this is not good. But luckily there was no blood. Nothing like that. So I was like, okay. I was like, well, that was not the way to go about it. So let's not do that anymore. And so we tried again, just to have all the dogs on leashes. And so we were just hanging out in the park a little while longer, just trying anything, just, you know, walking her dogs in front of Bowie, and every time he would just snarl. And it was just already off to a bad start. And we had to make dinner still, and we were hungry, and we're like, okay, we ain't got time for this. We're like, well, we'll try again tomorrow. So we all go back to the house, and then Bowie, unfortunately, just had to stay in his crate majority of the time while we were there. And I was like, listen, you can't act right. This isn't anyone else's fault but yours, and we're gonna try again later, tomorrow. We'll try it again. But it all started off with a dog fight, and that was uncomfortable for everyone. But the next day, you know, we go through our movie night, everything was fine. Bowie was, like, in his cage majority of the time, but it is what it is. It's one night, you're fine. Then the next morning, like, we were gonna stay the whole weekend, so the next day we were gonna stay as well, and we're like, maybe we can try with the dogs again. And so the next morning, we, you know, wake up, we let the dogs out. Like, we had to alternate. Like, her dogs could go outside and hang out with people and family for a little while, then we'll switch, and then our dogs can come and go outside and hang out with the people for a little while. So the next morning, we let our dogs out. Oh no, it was so bad. So the boy's cousin, you know how some people have chickens, and they have chickens in their yard, and then they have eggs, and they'll sometimes sell eggs? Well, she has that, except she has ducks. She has ducks, and she sells duck eggs, and they eat duck eggs, which, not bad, not gonna lie. But they're in their own little coop area, and it's all fenced off, and she wasn't worried about it. She's like, oh yeah, like, my mother-in-law had her duck hunting dog, her, like, professional bird dog, over last week, and he couldn't get in there, no problem. We're not worried about it. They're fenced off. They're good. And I was like, okay. So we let our dogs out in the morning, and then I call for them to come inside, and I only see Bonzo. And I'm like, huh. And Bonzo was, like, barking to come inside. I was like, Bowie. And I, like, called for him. And then I called for him again. And then he finally came over. I was like, that was weird. Why did it take you so long? Huh? What you doing? Because he's normally pretty good about, like, coming when he's called. And I was like, that was weird. And I'm like, okay. So we let them in. No big deal. And I was like, let me just go look in the backyard. Let me look out this window really quick. And let me just look. And then I saw it. I looked. And right in front of me was the duck coop. And I look at the duck coop, and the door to the duck coop is on the ground, and there are no ducks. I don't see any ducks in the duck coop. And I was like, oh, uh-oh. And I was, like, afraid to look anywhere else. And so I look into the rest of the yard, and I see it. I see a pile of feathers in the middle of the yard. And I was like, oh no. I knew exactly what happened right away. And I'm like, no, I don't know what to do. And so I didn't know what to do. And she has kids, and she's emotionally attached to these ducks, and they all have names. And I didn't know what to do. And I was afraid to see more ducks. And I just saw this one flock of feathers. It was just, like, pfft, all in the yard. I was like,
You guys? What did you do with the ducks? The duck door is on the ground. Where's the ducks? And the whole house went quiet. And everyone got up very slowly and went to look out the window in the yard. And as soon as they saw that pile of feathers, we all knew what it meant. Tears. Tears. The boy's cousin, she starts crying, like bawling hysterically. Like she just lost one of her ducks and she loves them all very much. And I was like, fuck, my dog just ate one of her pets. Oh my gosh, what do we do now? I mean, we can never come over again. We can never talk to these people again. They're going to hate us. Oh my gosh. She starts crying. She has two little kids, right? They're both like under 10. And they're like, what's wrong, mama? And she's like, ugh. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And we didn't know what to do. We didn't know what to do. So grab Bowie, put his ass in the cage. Oh my God, I can't believe he just fucking killed a duck. I'm like, where's the rest of the ducks? Seriously, because she has eight. She has eight ducks. And I see one over there, but I don't know where the rest of them are. Luckily, the rest of them were inside of their actual duck house coop thing. And they ran away. But this one duck got ate. He got eaten. He's donezo. And it was just really sad. And it was really awkward. And we didn't know what to do. So the boy's cousin is crying. The kids are confused. The boy's cousin's husband is like, oh, shit, what do? I need to console my wife. I need to console my children. I need to fix the duck coop. I need to bury the duck. Like, and we're like, should we go? Like, I don't know what to do. And immediately, the boy's cousin, luckily, is a very understanding, wonderful human being. And she's like, it's okay. She's like, it's okay. She's like, I mean, she was crying, but she's like, it's okay. But it's dog. It's instinct, unfortunately. And it's all of our fault. It's primarily the boy and I. It's our fault because it was our dog and we should have been watching it. We shouldn't have trusted him. I mean, even if the duck coop was all locked up, he got through it somehow. What happened was the door, it was like a chain link door, but the door hinge, it wasn't like bolted on. Like you could lift the door and take the door off of the hinge. And that's what Bowie did. He went underneath, lifted the door. The door fell. And that's why it was on the ground. And then the ducks went everywhere. And he went and chased this one duck. We don't know what happened because no one saw it. No one saw it. There wasn't any noise from it. It was weird. And so, yeah, next thing we know, this duck is dead. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, this is not okay. I don't even know what to do. And she was like, no, it's okay. It's natural instinct. Like, it's fine. It's fine. Just let me cry about this for a minute. And I'm like, okay. And so we did the whole thing. We did a whole burial. We did a whole thing for the duck because we didn't know what else to do. And so they wrapped the duck in a towel. The duck was bleeding. It was already deceased, I guess, luckily, that it wasn't laying there suffering, but it was dead. And I don't know what Bowie did to it. I didn't get an up close and personal look at it. Everyone else kind of did. But they said that Bowie ate a chunk of the duck, ate it, took a big chunk of duck breast and tore it out of this poor duck and ate it. One thing I will say about Bowie is he's a crack addict for food. He was starving when we got him. He for sure was. And he was way underweight when we got him. And that's what it was. I don't know how to like sum it up to anything else. Is Bowie is hungry and he was starving and he's always been kind of crazy for food and we're trying to calm him down from food. We still kind of deal with it to this day, but he saw duck and he has expensive taste. So that happened. But yeah, they wrapped the duck in a towel and the kids are just asking questions. What's wrong? What happened? Can I see the duck? All this stuff. And they were like, no, you can't see the duck. No, because it was like torn into. And they're like, you don't need to see that. Just the dog ate the duck. Don't worry about it. And then they had a pet tarantula. And that tarantula died because I guess their lifespans aren't that long. And he was at the end of his lifespan. And so they buried that tarantula in their yard. And so they decided to bury the duck next to the tarantula. And so the boy's cousin dug a hole and we put the duck with its towel into the ground, and we covered it with dirt, and we each took a pile with the shovel. We each shoveled in some dirt on his grave, and it was sad. It was really awkward, and we didn't know what to do. The duck's name, by the way, was Butter. She's been naming all of her ducks, because she had 8 ducks, now she has 7. But she's been naming all of her ducks after condiments, which I think is really cute. She's got tomato, ketchup, mustard, lettuce, pickle, stuff like that. And then she got these 2 new ducks within the last year and a half. And I guess ducks have to come in pairs. And she got 2 new ducks, and she called them Bread and Butter, which is really cute. And Butter died. So, Butter, rest in peace. Rest in peace, Butter. I got 2 more stories from Bowie to tell you. So, Bowie is also an escape artist. He's pretty good at it, actually. And we had to get a little smart with how we keep him in our house. So, at our house, when we first got Bowie, we're like, oh, he's a really good dog and he's cool. He's not like chewing on things. And so as we're trying to like leave the house, which is going to happen, and the dogs are going to be alone in the house, we're like, what do we do? Do we put him in his crate? Do we let him out? And so we started it off with putting him in his crate. When we first took the crate out in the house, he like went into it immediately. Like we didn't even have to tell him to go into it. We set it up and he went right in. We're like, oh, you like crates. Okay, this is good. And he would just lay in there and he would just chill in there sometimes when he didn't even have to be in there. He would just go in there. We're like, oh, this is great. He's crate trained. And so when we first were leaving the house, we put him in the crate and left the house. We came back to the house and he was out of the crate. And we're like, oh my gosh. And we went over and looked at the crate and it was fully collapsed on the ground. And he somehow just went crazy and maneuvered his way out of the crate. So we're like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? The second time we put him in the crate, he started bending the metal on the crate. And I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like, he's going to hurt himself with this metal. I don't know what to do because he is trying to escape the crate. And so we're like, well, let's just try leaving him out. Like, he hasn't shown us that he's like a bad dog to not leave him out. So let's just leave him out. So the next time we leave him out, and then what happens? Well, remember that whole Bowie was starving and he's really hungry and he's kind of a crackhead for food? Yeah, he went through the garbage. He didn't only go through the garbage. He tore that shit apart. And he went through the recycling, was licking the bottom of like cans and stuff, any little bit that he can get. Like, he's a crackhead for fucking food. So we're like, this is not good. And so a couple of times we had to clean up the garbage because he would go through the garbage. And we're like, he's going to get sick. He's going to be eating like moldy stuff at the bottom of the garbage. This is not okay. So like, well, back to the cage. So set up his cage again and everything. And we're like, how are we going to get him to not get out? Like, he fully got out of his cage. He's going to hurt himself. So we started zip tying his cage shut so that he can't get out and can't open it and can't like collapse it open. So we started zip tying his cage. That was working for a while. And we had his bed in the cage. And then he fully got pissed off and tore up his bed one day. So we're like, well, taking the bed out. Did that. And now he's destroying his cage. It's all zip tied so he can't escape it. But he's tearing apart the little metal bars on the cage. So we're trying to like figure it out. I don't know if we're going to have to just like take the garbage out of the house when we leave the house so he doesn't tear it up. Because outside of that, he hasn't been doing anything else when he's not in his cage. But also like, fuck that. You're a goddamn dog. We're not going to do that. So he needs to figure it out. And I don't know what to do. We started putting him in his cage and giving him like a peanut butter Kong, you know, those toys. So he's trying to be distracted. I did that and left the house for like an hour and a half, not even that long. And this fucker tore off a piece of the metal on his cage still. So I don't know what to do. If you have any recommendations, any dog trainers that want to chime in, help me out, because I just don't know what to do. My next step is to like get a camera inside the house and keep an eye on him. And then once he starts freaking out and going for his cage, like voice activate the camera and like yell at him through the camera. Like, I don't know what else to do. I'm not sure. So seriously, we need some help with that, because I don't know what to do with Bowie when we leave the house. One last story from Bowie. And by the way, we've only had Bowie for 3 months.
3 months. We've only had this little asshole for 3 months and all this stuff has already happened. But one more story for you. So for the boy's brother's birthday, his brother's birthday just passed a couple months ago. We decided to spend that birthday with the boy's mom and just be around family because we knew it was going to be a tough day. And so we took a road trip to St. Louis to go see family. And we took a road trip out there and we brought our dogs. And we were a little bit worried because the boy's mom has two chihuahuas. And we're like, well, Bowie murdered a duck. So I feel like he'll definitely murder some chihuahuas. The duck was bigger than these chihuahuas are. So we're like, we're going to have to keep them separate. Let's not do that. So luckily the boy's mom has a pretty big basement and the basement has a door that closes. And so we're like, cool. We'll just keep them in the basement for now because we were getting in late. We weren't going to have time to like try to introduce the dogs or do anything like that. And so we get there. It was late. They were waiting for us for dinner, which was really sweet. The boy's aunt was there and we hadn't seen her in a while. So it was just nice to catch up. And we get there and we get the dogs settled. We feed them dinner. We give them water. We put them in the basement and we're like, we'll leave them like out because like I don't want to deal with Bowie freaking out in the crate or anything like that. Like we're only going to eat dinner and then we're going back downstairs to bed. So we leave them downstairs and we close the basement door and we sit down for dinner and we're sitting there for like maybe 5 minutes. And all of a sudden I hear some thumping and I'm like, what is that? And then Bowie turns the corner and heads straight for the living room for the chihuahuas on the couch. And I'm like, no, like book it to the couch before he gets his mouth around a chihuahua. And I grabbed him, picked him up. I don't know how he got out of the basement. So the basement door is not like a door knob. It's a handle that you kind of just like pull the handle down. So that's what he did. He was able to paw at the handle, pull the handle down, open the basement door and get out that way and went straight for a chihuahua. So like my dog is a murderer. I don't know. I'm not sure. But speaking of murder, that wasn't even the initial story I wanted to tell you for Bowie's final story. So we were there, right? We're in St. Louis with his parents. That whole thing had already happened with the basement. It was fine, whatever. Luckily, nothing happened. And it was the next night. We still weren't able to get the dogs acclimated. We just had things, birthday plans and stuff like that we were doing. And we were outside with the dogs and we had let Bonzo and Bowie kind of run loose because the boy's mom, she lives in farmland. Like she's not a farmer herself. She just has a regular yard, but all of her neighbors, like she's surrounded by cornfields. And so she lives in farmland. And so the dogs were all good to be able to just kind of like run. And so we're like, let's let them run. And they had a good time running around and stuff. Bowie occasionally would like just run and disappear for a second and then he'd come back, luckily. So we're like, okay, but like farmland, whatever, he's having fun, it's fine. So we were outside one night and it was pitch black outside and I was like, huh, we haven't really paid attention to the dogs in like 2 minutes. I was like, let me go check on the dogs. So I go and I call for the dogs and Bonzo did not come on the first like two calls. And I was like, this isn't good. Something is happening because Bonzo is with Bowie and Bowie is doing something and Bonzo is not coming back to me because Bonzo's the good one. He's the good dog now. He used to be the bad dog. Now he's the good dog, which is weird. But I'm calling out for them and Bonzo hasn't come yet. And I'm like, oh no, something's going on. I don't know. So we're calling. We get the flashlight. Again, it's pitch black outside farmland. There's not street lights or anything. We have the flashlight and we're looking. Then I see two like glowing eyes. And I'm like, oh, it's Bonzo. And Bonzo comes running towards me. And I'm like, Bonzo, where's Bowie? And then 20 seconds later, Bowie is finally following and I see his glowing eyes in the flashlight. And as he's coming closer and closer, I turn the flashlight towards him and I see a big hairball in his mouth. Something with a lot of hair, a lot of fur, something big is in his mouth. And we're like, drop it. He puts whatever this is down. We immediately throw him in his cage, bad Bowie, and go to look at what this creature is. And we look, and it's a possum. A big, fat, nasty, smelly possum. That thing's ugly.
And we're like, oh my gosh, Bowie just killed a possum. First he killed a duck, now he killed a possum. He's such a murderer. What are we going to do with this goddamn dog? But then we looked a little closer. Again, we have the flashlight already. So we're like looking at this possum. And then he starts like moving his jaw a little bit. And we're like, oh, he's alive. He's alive. Possum's playing possum. He's alive. But we didn't kill him. That's good. Because we also didn't see any blood or anything like that, which unfortunately we have to look for in this goddamn dog. But no blood, just some saliva. And the possum was playing possum. He was totally fine. He disappeared the next morning because he was still alive and he ran away. But I have a feeling that duck was the first. And that possum, it's not going to be the last. We're going to have to deal with this goddamn dog and small critters, small animals. Like, I just don't know what to do. Like, part of me is like, oh my God, my dog is a murderer. We have to get rid of him. Or like, what can we do for him? But then part of me is also like, he's a dog. Like, this is also like kind of natural. Like, naughty, naughty. No, no, no. We got to get you out of the habit of this. But also like, he's a dog. You know what I mean? So I feel like it's not the worst possible thing to have to deal with, but it's definitely not fun to have to deal with. I would rather not have to deal with any of this, but it is what it is. And that's Bowie. That's Bobo. I will say, though, for some reason, I don't know, maybe it's because they're small dogs. Those Chihuahuas, by the way, so the next day we finally had time to, like, try to get the dogs to get along with each other. And we went outside in the yard again. It was one of those things. We kept Bowie on a leash, and the Chihuahuas didn't even want to come near him anyway. But eventually, Bowie got used to the Chihuahuas and then didn't care at all about the Chihuahuas. And I was like, see, this is what he did with Bonzo. Doesn't care. I don't care about this dog. I don't want to talk. I don't care about what these dogs are doing over there. I'm over here and I'm doing me. And that's how he acted when we first brought him to Bonzo. And then that's how he acted once he finally got used to the Chihuahuas, and he was cool with the Chihuahuas after that. So maybe it's just smaller dogs. He'll only get along with smaller dogs. Doesn't like dogs his size or bigger. It's an alpha thing. I don't know, man. All I know is we definitely got to work on it, because I don't want to deal with this bullshit the entire time that we have Bowie. I can't do it. I won't do it. And we're not getting rid of Bowie by any means. I said all that stuff, you know, jokingly. I'm not getting rid of Bowie. We can't do that. We love him. He's a good boy. He just has trauma in his life and he acts up sometimes. All these stories make Bowie seem like the most terrible dog ever, but I promise you he's really not. He's actually really sweet to all people. He's sweet to people. And he's sweet to kids. I was a little bit worried about him being around the boy's cousin's kids, but he was totally fine with kids. He's all good. It's just animals. Other little animals, But he really is a good dog. I mean, like, he's a sweetheart. He cuddles. He listens, mostly, kind of sometimes. When he's at home, he's a sweet, sweet baby angel. When he's not at home, he's a dick. A dickhole, asshole, fuckhole, shithole. But when he's at home, he's great. Say bye to the camera. Come here, Bubush. Come here.
Oh, there's a big Bowie.
See, he's good. He listens. He's good. I swear. He's been shedding really bad, though, lately. But he's otherwise a good dog. When he's at home, he's a really great dog. When he's not at home, he's awful. So we're going to work on that.
Aren't we, Bowie? We're going to work on that. Yes, we are.
You hear that? And Bowie sings. That's another thing. He sings. He does this weird thing. Whenever the boy gets home, he gets excited. Whenever he gets excited, he does this. He's like, that's more of a growl. Be nicer about it. Come here. You heard it. You get the gist. But that's Bowie, our new dog. And we love him, even though sometimes we hate him. Okay, I'm gonna play my Christmas song for you one more time and then we're saying goodbye.
Bitch better have my cookies. Santa coming down your chimney. Bitch better have my cookies. Slinging presents under your tree. I want me some cookies. Doesn't matter which kind you brought. Bitch, give me your cookies. Chocolate chip, mint, peanut butter. Like drop, drop, drop. Dropping presents under your tree. Got that new toy you want. Working all year, making
like plop, 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 going down your chimney. Yikes. Go ahead and say my name. Bitch, better have my cookies. I want me some cookies.
Some milk too, because that'd be cool. Thanks.
Not pilk though. I still do not recommend pilk.
Okay, love you. Bye.